Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson. Good to see you, Melissa. Our producer, Andy Lara. Everybody's here. Gang's all here. Heat is coming. I don't think it's going to get
right.
as hot in here as it has in pre, because it's been nice July the last couple of days here, which means I'm going to leave and go to the south, where it is
our hottest day today. This week is Thursday.
Oh, yeah? What are we looking like Thursday?
High 80s.
Everyone in the desert in the south and really the Midwest just rolled their eyes at it. And the East Coast just rolled their little babies getting to the upper 80s. It gets hot on Halloween here sometimes.
It's hot to us.
It's perfect. It's a perfect weather city. And, you know, we pay the cost. Anyways, thanks guys for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Today we have a great episode for you. We got some emails and some reviews that we got to, and I got some breaking news I'm going to share here with you guys in a second.
Okay.
And that I saw when I was checking my phone in the bathroom. Oh. And also we're talking state fairs today. Melissa and I and our daughters and their friends went to the fair on last Thursday. And it just, I was like, we have not talked about, they've talked about fairs a lot on Nateland. Fairs are a big part of the broader Nateland brand, shall I say. Nate's performed at a lot of fairs, a lot of guests, myself included. Nate, John, I did the fair with John. Leanne has performed at fair.
I saw Leanne and Nate at our San Diego fair.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you and I dated at a fair. I had a huge fair growing up that I would go to a lot.
You've said the jingle on this podcast.
We're going to get to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
I don't know that Andy's heard it, and so I want to debut it.
I think he has.
Have I done the Puyallup Fair jingle for you?
I believe so.
Because people have
dropped it on the
it.
Show.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's right. Then we'll put it on the show later. So we're talking fairs. But before we get to any of that, we got a bit of a weekend recap. Got some reviews. You guys have been great about leaving reviews on iTunes. Apple Podcast. iTunes. I don't know. Whatever you call it.
They still call it the iTunes Store. So I don't, know. Whatever.
Well, some people had not listened to our replay. I can't even say
of the
Hale.
The Nickerson's Hale. Trip from Hale.
Classic.
Good pull there on the episode.
You're welcome.
And so people are commenting on that and just summer travel gone wrong.
Yeah, where are people listening to this podcast right now? They're listening to it. It's July, so they're listening it to their AirPods while they drown out their kids at home.
Yeah,
they're still there driving because this is the acceptable thing that everyone will listen to in the car.
And then maybe you're doing like a day trip.
Yeah.
To the beach.
The new, what was it? Don't Make Me Come Back There for the Family Ride is the new Adventures in Odyssey or whatever it was that of in Odyssey. You listened to it growing up. In Odyssey, is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word, the new one.
That's us. Yep.
We listened to it a little bit with our kid.
Yeah. In Odyssey.
In Odyssey.
And then we had an Odyssey.
Exactly. I wonder if that's why they named it that.
Pun on a pun.
Well, thanks for leaving reviews, everybody. Five shows. This is from Pickett Packslayer. Five stars. Good job. Love the show. This one is from Dustu Kilburn.
Okay.
Five stars. Subject Greg W. Saw you and Greg on Nateland podcast. You and Greg going at each other had me in tears. Great. It's nice. I like making fun of Greg, mm-hmm. and he likes making fun of me. Mm-hmm. And this one, you can't always see the full subject, but I get a we get the gist of it here from shelter worker, June 5th, 5-star. I have a parasocial relationship, ... I love hanging out with my, quote, friends every week. I've seen Dustin live a couple times, and he has found a funny partner in Melissa. I love listening to the podcast every week.
Well, thank you,
shelter worker. Thank you so much, shelter worker.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the travel stories. People gave us some. You go ahead and pull this one up here. So this one is from Alicia. Alicia put this in the Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans. You want to read this one, Mel?
Sure. Yeah. Let me just plug our Patreon Zoom because it is July 22nd, and you can join various Patreon tiers and chat with us, and it's a good time.
Meet and greets at shows.
VIP news.
News.
You find out stuff early, and you do get behind the scenes from this podcast every week.
Oh, the breaking news.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. I just saw on my phone TSA is lifting the shoe thing.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Man, if you're a millennial, that is a big news.
I just saw that. I suppose we could talk about this. You can confirm that. I just saw that today they announced that TSA is phasing out that you have to take your shoes off going through security.
That is very nice.
20 years of it. 20 years.
Wow.
Wow.
How do you guys feel about that?
It was such a annoying thing to be standing there in your socks in a line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is good news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes away a bit of the lovely classist feel of like having, you know, TSA pre-check.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. As someone who overpaid for shorter lines, I'm like, take your shoes off.
Keep taking them off.
Yeah. It's like, if I remember correctly, right, this was because the shoe bomber. There was like one incident that set this off for 20 years. And I know some people have been like staunchly against it. I've never been, I think I'm in general like, not naive, but like hopeful, kind of positive that I think a lot of the time people are just doing the best given the circumstances. So TSA was like, hey, we're just trying to keep you safe, and we're a big, clunky, slow-moving organization. So I guess I give people the benefit of the doubt a lot, including agencies, probably more than I should.
Well, I'm also just shocked that they revised something.
I mean, anytime,
you know,
anytime,
anytime
like something changes for a positive, you're like, oh, wow.
I know. Now if we can just get like 2 more ounces on the liquids, that would just really be nice, you know, instead of like losing my sunscreen.
Yeah. Sunscreen is always the one.
Always the one.
Yeah.
Because you need more than a 6-ounce tube, you know, like if you're traveling.
Ounces, I guess, is what they give you. But yeah, there's not a lot of sunscreen.
Just buy it when you get there. Throw it in your checked bag.
I know.
Traveling with sunscreen is risky in general.
It's a mess.
I always feel like it's the one most likely to
explode. Joel and I traveled last week, and he has his driver's license from 16.
Yeah.
And he's 18 now, and his photos weren't matching. And this lady was like, he has different features. And I was like, well, he doesn't. He just grew a lot in the last 2 years. And I was like, make this face, Joel, that's on your ID card. And she goes, it won't make a difference. And then he did, and it worked. And we were like, okay, we're going to leave now. She was like, he needs to get a new photo.
Yeah.
I was like, we're not doing that. Like,
are you new to people growing? Are you new to, I mean, people look different in their, like,
yes, people age so much in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're like,
between photos.
If I go between photos, you're like, I got a whole different, I got way less hair.
Accessory.
I got a mustache now. I got a different accessory. I might be a different weight than I was before. There's like crazy stuff, you know?
She almost like didn't let us through, you know?
I mean, they should have like a filter on there for like, parents where they just immediately add like a de-stressor just to clean up their face if it's like, you know, been a number of years since you've had it.
That's
just
funny.
To be like, oh yeah, there you are.
you know, anymore. It's probably just going to have, we're all going to have filters going through, seeing, looking at our faces. Could you just kind of like put the like glam filter on me?
I know, at the airport at like 5 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does make sense, like, that they got rid of the shoe thing because the technology at the airport has gotten so, it's gone up so much in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, the things that they're walking through and the things they're running our bags through and
the facial scan.
Now the facial scans where you don't have to take your ID out. And again, I know people are probably against that. And if somebody's like, I don't like them taking all our pictures at the airport, I'm like, sure, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's like, great. They made a nice little longer line for you over there.
Yeah.
That's your line.
That's your line. Great. No, I think Nate had that. Is it in the new hour? I won't do his material, but he has a bit about, giving away everything for a slightly shorter line.
Yeah. It's like I joined a Target Circle and I gave him like all my credit history and, all this stuff.
Yeah.
For like a tote bag, a free tote bag. This is worth it. Now they can track my spending habits and
good.
Yeah. I was like, I'm in.
For a Target tote.
It's a plaid reusable shopping bag.
Is it like a smart bag too? I'm sure there's like a tracker inside the tote bag, just to like track you around the store.
Yeah,
collect
about,
all that.
You know everything about me now. They're sharing with marketers.
Yeah.
They
accidentally call it like the new Target track bag. I'm sorry, tote bag. There's no tracking device in there.
Target's like, you saved $1,000 this year. You're like, did I?
Did I? Well, the one that's getting me right now is Instagram, asking for access to all my photos. And otherwise, so.
Oh, no.
Well.
I know. I limit it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
But on Instagram, they got full access.
Full access to, meaning probably there's literally every What you don't think about there is how many screenshots of like a password you've probably taken a picture of or something like that, and like a quick see that you're just like, and I'm thinking like, do you have access to every folder? What do you mean every photo? What every
like camera roll?
Deleted photos? What do you...
Especially the rash folder.
Yeah. You're like 17,000 photos? Seems high. Seems like there might be some in there. But then I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And then I go in and I want to upload a new video or a picture. And I'm just like...
You have to manually choose it.
I have to manage and manually choose it. And you're like, fine, you can see it all. What do I care? You probably have access to it all anyways.
Your loss anyway.
Well, and then I also always think I'm like, I'm pretty sure Apple has access to all these.
Yeah. There's no privacy.
Right.
Probably not.
Which is why we're going to start doing this podcast in the nude. And we're just going to...
Filter free.
We're going to actually, we'll just cover up our tidbits with our passwords.
Tidbits. Oh, my. I thought we were doing an email.
Alicia sent us a note. Worst travel stories. I'll go first. Take your pick. We're going to do the first one. Alicia. This is from Alicia. Go ahead, Mel.
Okay. It was the summer of 2016.
It was the summer of 2016.
Southwest had the major technology crash that resulted in over 1,000 flights being canceled in 24 hours. Ours was one of them, and our family of four was stranded in the Denver airport after we'd already checked our bags.
Relatable.
As I stood at the counter to see what our options were, I was thankful our kids were older as I heard the young father next to me pleading with the agent for a flight as they were traveling with a baby and they'd already run out of diapers. Whew. As it quickly became clear we would be in Denver for at least the next 24 hours, I desperately reached out to a former coworker I hadn't seen in over 10 years, but was now living in Denver. She graciously came and got us, put us up at her house, and brought us back to the airport the next day. We had no luggage, but we had a bed to sleep in that night. What should have been a direct flight back to Oregon turned out to involve a side quest via Las Vegas and Phoenix.
With a few hour nap
on the floor of the Phoenix airport in the wee hours of the morning.
Oh.
We finally landed in Portland almost 48 hours later, then planned with all of our gear except a neck pillow that... Oh, they got everything but the neck pillow that decided Vegas looked like a great place to call home.
That's awesome. Ooh. Yeah, it's tough out there.
Do you remember that? Did you get hit by that?
You know, I wasn't...
We were road tripping at that time.
Yeah,
we were not
I wasn't traveling as much
family.
In 2016. Yeah, yeah, my road really picked up right as the... When...
2018.
I mean, John started bringing me out in 2018, and then the world shut down for a couple of years. And
I guess, Tim, you are more bus-based.
We were bus-driven. I would fly to St. Louis a lot to meet Tim, and that was a Delta. I don't remember that one. I remember a couple of years the Southwest had an issue. Southwest has one every few years. They all do. It's
Southwest had that really bad Christmas one, like. A year or two ago.
Yeah, recently.
Again, this might be, I'm realizing this about myself, that there are like really like skeptical, cynical people in the world, and I have that in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I lean towards giving people the benefit of the doubt and being kind of like positive, upbeat dude. And I'm surprised when like these big crashes happen, I'm surprised they don't happen more often. I think I've told you this so many times before. As someone who travels everything, I think modern air travel is a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe the amount of flights that happen so often. I'll just look at the gate sometime. I'll look at the boards in like Atlanta and like, how is this all happening? This is so crazy. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get my kid to day camp today. I had one kid to get to one place.
Mm-hmm. No, it's amazing.
A miracle.
It's
so,
amazing
yeah.
when you look at all the flights.
Yeah, and your bags are there.
The
now
times.
I get a little note on my bag from Delta, like, hey, your bag's arriving. Oh, my gosh. Piece of cake. This is so easy.
We picked up our son at the airport yesterday, and we saw his flight, like, flying over Balboa Park while we're driving to the airport, and you're like, that's him.
That's him. That kid woke up in Connecticut, drove to New York, and now is in San Diego. It's crazy.
And it's noon.
All right, let's do an email here. Mm-hmm. This is subject Rainforest Cafe, plus a question for Dustin. This is from Katie. You want to read this one, Melissa?
Sure. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. I've been a fan of the pod for the past couple of years. Y'all are so relatable, and the episodes are something I look forward to each week.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your conversation about medieval times made me think of a recent trip my sisters and I took to the Rainforest Cafe.
Yes, yes.
For context, my family is from Iowa, and when we were kids in the 90s, our parents would take us once a year to Minneapolis, Minnesota to go to the Mall of America. Mm-hmm. For my two sisters and I, the highlight was getting to eat at the Rainforest Cafe. We absolutely loved the interactive experience and souvenir cups. So this past spring, my sisters and I, now in our mid-30s, decided to recreate the trip to Minneapolis with our own kids, and we were convinced they would be just as delighted as we were by the experience. Well, it turns out that although technology has progressed in every area, other area of society, it's still the same animatronic birds and monkeys at the old Rainforest Cafe. And unfortunately, it just isn't quite as mesmerizing to our Generation Alpha kids. Although they were grateful for the trip, the fake rainstorm at dinner didn't leave them as awestruck and asking for more. My sisters and I still loved the nostalgia of it, but agreed some experiences are better left in the 90s. I also had a question for Dustin. As a comedian, do you ever worry about accidentally copying someone else's material without realizing it? It is common for people to have similar bits in their sets and not realize it. Mm. Is it common? Thanks again for all that you guys do, Katie.
Yeah. Great email, Katie. Thanks for being a fan. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember, we all remember South Center Mall when Rainforest Cafe came out. You're like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm in the rainforest.
It's total immersion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have ours at the Downtown Disney. So it was like that, yeah, plus all of Downtown Disney. Yeah. But the only thing I can remember is like the Oriental salad. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because that was like sweet salads were like such those. A thing of the
still
late
delicious.
90s.
I don't think you're allowed to call it anymore, but it's still a
correct.
Great salad. It's
I
still
think,
a
like,
great salad.
Applebee's kind of had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were.
Everyone did. Yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great salad.
Mm-hmm.
They'll. It's like. It's like it's called Asian chicken salad.
Yeah,
now.
They'll call it now like Chinese chicken.
Yeah,
or Asian
yeah.
chicken salad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mandarin oranges.
The Chinese chicken.
Watching next file with the lights on.
I was like, I can't not do that one. When are we ever gonna get Chinese chicken on the pot again? When is that one ever gonna slip? To answer your question, you do worry about. Nah, I don't worry. I mean, you do think about it. I'll just give a practical example. The bit about idioms that I was doing on this current hour about mm-hmm. how Mel and says were she mixes up the phrases a lot, and mm-hmm. I had a couple examples.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what they were.
We're not recycling the moon.
Yeah, when you say we don't need to recycle the moon here, that was mm-hmm. the big one. Or you said, don't shoot the manager.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. Nate had a bit about that, how Laura messes him up. And then John had one as well that he did on The Tonight Show about, you know, turn his life a full 360. Like, don't you mean 180? Right. All great bits. And so, and that was a good example
Dove
of where you're just like, and Dove had
Dove
one. Yeah,
like
Dove had one where you just go like, okay, this has probably been done enough. And some of it's too when comedians that are bigger than you, like Nate's a good example of like, where I've had crossover with Nate a couple times.
Yes.
And Nate is so much, like I had an old bit about the drive through thing, and I'm not saying Nate steal, because Nate steal from me. I don't even know if Nate's ever heard me do comedy. He has. but about the drive through where you had to open your door.
Mm-hmm.
Tay and I have had a couple crossovers. I had a bit about everyone, here's the thing, commenters will let you know if you've done this. Like Jeff Dye and I both had a bit about the liberal coffee shop, and I had a, what was it, a bit about the spray not working in the bathroom, that apparently Attell had a version of that. Jay Moore apparently had a bit about couples need to hate things together. Like, it does happen, and you just... You don't know. There's only so many. There's way more comedians than there used to be, and there's way more people making content than there used to be. Like everyone is a content creator, and everyone's making jokes anymore.
Yeah, I think I would relate it to like recipes. Like,
oh, that's
online. Yeah. Everybody will like content creators will just make the same recipe again, but maybe you'll just like change the quantity of one ingredient.
Yeah, but comedians don't want to do that. Comedians want to be original recipe.
Well, and you take a unique photo and you kind of put your take to it. But like recipes are very fad oriented. Like things go like pretzels are in now or, you know, like turmeric's in. And then everybody like has their version of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing on the internet is trends and, you know, like trends are literally a thing where you're just like, oh, we're all doing a different
group
version of the same
bits.
Joke.
So I don't know. Like, I guess
there's only so
what
many
I
premises.
Mean is,
we're all
like,
living the same life out here.
Art and content. Like they do. There's like, you know, they go together.
Same. As long as you're pulling personal stories and, you know, we've all I don't see comedians. I was just talking to somebody about this recently, about like, I think comedians are pretty understanding. Like, I don't see comedians going after each other. Like, you stole that bit from me very often anymore. Cause I think there is just an understanding of like, hey, we're all writing and we're all trying to come up with stuff. And there's just only so many premises in the world. Like, and I draw from family. That's almost exclusively that's what I always tell Taylor. Hey, my new hour, what are you talking about? Marriage, aging, parenting, and my dad. This is four topics I've covered a million times.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You do worry about it. And the hardest thing, and this is a good example, I just did it. One of the harder things in comedy is you just go, all right, that's somebody else did that. Now I'm getting rid of it. And you just got to move on. I've done it a few times where you're just like, all right, got to move on with that. And you'll write something new. You know, you always come up with something. This one is from Summer, and then we'll get into the episode here. Solid episode. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. Nerd gummy clusters are a guilty pleasure. I used to sneak them onto the conveyor belt at the grocery store and eat them quietly while my then rear-facing three-year-old was oblivious to my treat. She's now forward-facing and very confidently telling me how to drive. So my secret snack days are over. So sad. Maybe I'll get a solo grocery run, son, so I can eat my nerd clusters in peace and destroy the evidence before I get home. Love the pod, Summer. This is your new thing. You're a nerd.
Yeah, I got into... I told you last week I kind of got into nerd clusters, and I think it's because we had the box of nerds, like with the two colors and flavors.
Yeah.
In like the 90s, and... this is just a better form of them.
I totally agree. The old ones were barely even good then.
And you always spill them. And
they're a mess.
You put them in your hand, they start spilling, you know. But
yeah, I mean, who's had a better glow up than nerds
than
in the last
gummy
year?
Form, it's amazing. It's so bite-sized and everything. Yeah. But what happened was I was at my son's college orientation, and it was hot, and it was late, and we had to do this, like, we're trying to figure out his class schedule online and a new portal, and we couldn't figure it out, and it was like a whole thing. And I got some gummy clusters at the little student union building, and I started like pounding them.
Yeah, and you're hooked.
This is
what happened to me in Coke Zeros. I got into one. I was like, I don't know about that.
Exactly.
And then you have one Coke Zero, and you're like, I think I'm gonna need this most days now. I think I'm going to need this as a little afternoon treat.
Yeah. But it was, it's also like you can't smell them, right? Like, no, like that lady, if she had gotten like McDonald's fries or something.
Oh, yeah, you can't hide that from your kid.
Everyone's going to smell that, you know? So
the whole car smells like it.
It's just a little treat.
You know, what is life if not giving yourself a little treat here and there?
Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Well, congrats on your new addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you
chose. I know. I mean, I can usually avoid candy, but
we went on the roof to watch fireworks, and I said, "Hey, everybody,
we're a classy family.
We're going down to 7-Eleven."
Yeah,
and
we're on the roof.
Everybody gets
7-Eleven snacks.
Yeah, and we went to the fair the day before. Everybody gets a snack, and everybody gets a treat. We got Bevs at home. We're not getting snack, treat, and Bev. It's not crazy. Everyone gets a snack. Everyone gets a treat. And Mel picked as her treat and a full 7-Eleven option. I couldn't believe you didn't pick a chocolate. I offered you a Haagen-Dazs bar.
I am always chocolate.
You've always been the Haagen-Dazs bar girl.
But, I've had...
You got a new thing?
I've had gummy clusters twice in the last week.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So...
Well... we've talked about nerd gummy clusters a lot on here, and we're going to talk about them more. But today we're talking about fairs, particularly state fairs. I can drive from here, Andy. You don't need to have that up there. So we went to the fair this last week, and we've been going to fairs since we were little kids. But we've been going to fairs together for 23 years. I bet one of our first dates was at the fair.
Well, I think we went at night, and it was all... high schoolers.
Yeah.
And that's when we met. So I think it's
fair
to say I did it.
It's
I guess
fair
it
play.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Also,
well,
our
it's good
church...
for you to go at night because you have fair skin.
Oh,
and I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Our church youth group always went like on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we just went a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gone a fair amount of times.
I knew it. I knew you had one. I knew you were saving one. You had a smirk on your face. Do you remember?
That's a little unfair.
That's a little unfair. Yeah.
Do you remember? I think it was the Lancaster Fair. It was called a fair to remember.
A fair. I do remember that. That's hilarious. That's, ironically, I do remember that. Yeah. You know, they're looking for themes. You're like, what was the time frame of that? I was like, I think we all know. It was near. Also, that was not a happy movie. That's the saddest movie.
I don't remember that movie, but
she dies.
I don't
right? She's sick. Mandy's sick, right?
Oh, you're saying a walk.
Oh, that's
to
a walk to remember.
Yeah, I know, but that's what it was based off of, right?
No, I thought
oh,
it
that's
was
hilarious.
I thought it was based off an affair.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
affair,
hilarious.
Remember?
It's I all thought, funny.
I thought they were just yeah. making a play off of A Walk to Remember because that was the big movie that year, but I guess I'm just showing that I was a youth group kid in the early 2000s.
Yeah. You were.
Switchfoot song. We've seen Switchfoot at the
oh,
fair.
Man.
Yeah. One of my it's,
that's
okay.
the pinnacle of fair memories.
Yeah, I this mm-hmm. is I think we've told you this before, but I'm gonna do yeah. it again. So, mm-hmm. two yes. years ago, is it 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
We're at the Del Mar Fair, which is what ours is called, right?
Yeah,
we're at mm-hmm. the Del, which is not a state fair, which we're gonna get into. We're at the Del Mar Fair, and you know these 2000 church kids mm-hmm. Switchfoot is there, and the way that the grandstand is, you can kind of hear the show as like from behind
from
it
anywhere yeah
so we're mm-hmm. it's this beautiful night, you know, because the Del Mar Fair is on the freaking beach. It's crazy, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. ocean fair lights going on, a couple fireworks in the distance,
moon
yeah, beautiful
stars.
Thing our kids are playing and having fun. Switchfoot's playing in the background. You know, we're here. We're dare you to move. All of it's happening. Mm-hmm. And we're getting all, like, sentimental. So much.
We're playing tag in the sand.
It's a beautiful moment. And yeah. I'm being an emotional dad. At one point, I pick up the sand and I watch it fall out of my hand.
It's like a metaphor.
And I'm just like, it's just like time, man. It's just the way it pads, it just slips through your hand. It's just slipping
through my
fingers. Yeah, you to move. We were meant to live for so much more, man. Sing it, John Foreman.
Also, it felt like we got a free concert.
Well, that's the thing. If you stand behind the grandstand, you are kind of getting a free concert. You're like, oh, that's fine.
You can hear them. You can't see them, but
yeah,
you can
yeah,
hear
yeah.
them.
So
it was like the value.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
so,
anything free this day and age brings me to tears.
Yeah.
Family of five? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like I paid to go to the fair. It wasn't free.
But that was also the last time we took our son to the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year we go mm-hmm. with we love a fair. That's what we're
you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, absolutely.
Well, I guess it's kind of like it's very accessible.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of a fair is there's no I mean you might have to drive like 20 minutes to an hour, you know, like
yeah.
but it's local.
They tend to be
you know, it's once a year mm-hmm. for a month or a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can do it at a trot. You can do it at a gallop. You can do it at a rate that your heart don't palpitate. Just
don't
be
late.
Do the Puyallup. It's all-time yep. jingle. Did you just rhyme palpitate with late? Unbelievable. What a wordsmith.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I did a little deep diving on fairs because we like them. We love going to them. The joke that I made, like, because fairs have gotten expensive. Like, fairs are where you spend a ton of money to act like you're trashy. Like you eat food you would never eat. It's mm-hmm. the trashiest mm-hmm. low-end food. You just deep fried everything and ride these rides that you're like, it's just fun. It's just carnival games. It's just a good experience. And it is like fairs are kind of equalizers because you do realize like, wow, there really are all classes of people here. And San Diego is a good example. Like really kind of came from every part of this county, which can mm-hmm. be of a diverse group of people. So,
yeah.
And like you said, the hours, like, you know, if you go early, there's the young families, you go late, there's the teens, you know, like mm-hmm. we live 30 minutes from our fair and saw a bunch of kids from our kids' high school that
yeah.
night. And that mm-hmm. was just some random Thursday night we were there. So
right.
I did a little deep diving on fairs because I was so not so stunningly. So state fairs. So there is a breakdown of like there was the World's Fair, which was
sure.
the state's mm-hmm. fair. And then mm-hmm. there's county fairs.
Yeah.
And really it just comes down to who's running them, you know,
mm-hmm.
like So state fairs in the U.S. originated, this is not going to be a surprise to anybody, from aiming to showcasing farming and rural life.
Okay.
Which makes all the sense. So the first state fair was held in Syracuse and quickly became a popular way to exhibit livestock, crops, and new farming technologies. Fairs also become social events featuring entertainment, food, da-da-da-da. So
sure.
The concept mm-hmm. of fairs were like exactly as you would expect them, right? That they have...
gather a bunch of people.
Gather a bunch of fair. Mm-hmm. Gather a bunch... So...
like
look at their livestock.
Contest.
There's that. So that's it's funny you said that. So the contest, the prizes would come from biggest calf, biggest cow, mm-hmm. biggest pumpkin, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. But have expanded, of course, to be beyond just agriculture now, mm-hmm. which did make me like that there is still like agriculture at them because it is like an afterthought for teens. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever wondered, why are there animals at the fair? Like, well, there's always been animals at the fair. This is where their roots are, their mm-hmm. agriculture, mm-hmm. agricultural, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Puyallup Fair in south of Seattle had tons of livestock.
Right? So that, but yeah. That's also a fair area, or like, excuse me, like an agricultural area, right?
Mm-hmm. And I would say... like Del Mar is not an agricultural area, but like you know, like Lakeside has like the rodeo,
mm-hmm.
and then they have like that the animals and
yeah.
stuff. So it kind of varies. Like
I like it
4-H programs
yeah.
and stuff, but
there were always
not as much agriculture at the Del Mar Fair as there was
right.
at the Puyallup Fair.
There were always a couple kids yeah. at your high school who the fair was big for them because mm-hmm. they were in 4-H. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, dude, I got the fair coming up.
I mean, I mean, I lived in like kind of a rural part of Texas
mm-hmm.
and we had like farmers and ranchers.
Yeah.
Did you have friends?
There were a couple, not mm-hmm. a lot, but it was like club based.
Okay.
You know, because I didn't mm-hmm. I lived in an urban area, so
yeah.
there wasn't anyone. Now, if we'd have gone down the hill to Enumclaw.
Or Duval.
Yeah, but in Puyallup, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We had.
So you had some in Texas, yeah.
I had a horse in Duval, but that's north of Seattle. But she wasn't a high school friend, but I met her in college. Yeah, there was always. You had one friend who had a horse.
Remember horse friend?
Yeah.
Everybody did have one
and they
friend.
They had to drive out to the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in other parts of the mm-hmm. country, people have lots of horse friends.
Absolutely.
Like, you're weird mm-hmm. if you don't have a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, in Texas, we lived across the street from the pasture of cows.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. state fairs are larger, more elaborate versions of regular fairs, which does
sure.
make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, again, held at the state level, showcasing a wide range of everything you thought, agriculture, competitive, and entertainment events. What I like is that they have always been competitive. It
yeah.
was a big deal
mm-hmm.
to go win at the fair, which now you win a big frog, I guess. That's how it's evolved. You don't win because you have the big frog.
No.
You win a big stuffed frog.
At, I mean, obviously a non-agricultural place, but like Orange County Fair, it is funny to see like not like animals there because they're not as frequent. But they have,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm curious if they have this at other fairs, but they have a dining set display competition. Is that
right?
It's
a competition.
That.
Yeah, it's a competition for best like dining
yeah.
display.
Okay.
And they are... unreal.
Yeah, I have seen that because
like who
like
can
the
have
hobby...
the best dining room setup?
It's like a table.
A
It'll
table
be just a table
scape.
With like plates, like a tablescape, and
yeah.
it's like thematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the hobby halls have that's kind of so this year the Del Mar Fair had a pet theme.
Yeah.
And I went in the hobby hall to find a bathroom, and so they were
hack. There's good bathrooms in the hobby hall.
Cat stuff everywhere.
Cat
there was,
stuff.
Like, a cat quilt.
Uh huh.
Cat photo. Yeah, so it's...
what is this?
It's very niche. And sometimes based on the theme.
That's in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The art of competitive...
tablescape?
Tablescape.
Yeah, table setting and tablescapes.
Oh, my gosh.
The fiercely precise world of... oh, my gosh.
Oh.
That's a small world. Oh, my gosh. First round of table setting competition...
I mean, this is...
I just had a friend who entered a mailbox competition for the 4th of July.
Mailbox.
What? What?
A neighborhood mailbox competition for the 4th of July.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you
freeze-dried mice holding champagne. The wacky... That's at the fair. This is the fair, man. I love the fair. I love that this stuff exists.
This took a lot of time. This is like a float, you know?
Yes. This is a float.
Uh-huh.
This is their rose parade. Wow.
She's hiding behind the fence.
It's a home improvement theme.
Mardi Gras.
How do you get into that?
Oh, man.
How do you tell someone, hey, what do you do?
I don't think they're making any money off
like,
of this.
Like, so, my husband's a lawyer. I do have a...
This is just for fun.
I do have a booth at the tablescaping.
Knights of the Round Table.
That's great.
I do, you know, that I do the Coco theme. Okay. I do feel bad if you... Maybe you have to submit your theme because you would hate to copy it. Somebody else's tablescape theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to cancel each other out.
Right.
If you're out there and you do tablescapes, let us know.
Yeah, please do. We want to know. Please send us an email. I want to know.
I think it's the same thing as like the quilters.
Sure.
And, you
Find
know,
a hobby.
The local. They'll have art shows in those too. Like the high school will submit some digital art.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it.
So,
well,
you do like a puzzles or
I think so
you can,
when you like look into like the history of fairs, like there's no, because a fair is essentially, you know, a jamboree, a gathering, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there's, you know, there's
it's like a circus.
There's examples of it in the Bible. Like you're like everyone got together and had booths and stuff. There's no way to know. Mm-hmm. What we're talking mostly is like state fairs in the US. But I wanted to ask you guys, so which fairs have you been to? So we together have been to the Puyallup, now known as the Washington State Fair.
I have been to the Evergreen State Fair.
You have been to the Evergreen State Fair, which is south, I think.
North.
North. It's north. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to Del Mar.
We've been to Del Mar.
We've been, I forgot, we went to the probably Antelope Valley, whatever it was, in Lancaster, AV Fair. And then I went to one in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go with my grandma every once in a while.
I think I just went to like... the farmer's market up there, but
yeah. And you went to one in Texas?
Oh, I don't think I did.
Okay.
No, I don't think I went to a Texas
Andy,
one.
Andy, you've been to OC one? How's the OC? Is it a good OC?
OC's great.
Yeah.
OC's legendary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's Orange County.
It's
so
crazy.
The concerts there are amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's like the bookings for those are, you know, next level. Like
they have,
you know,
a
Devo played. Like, I mean, I've seen Devo there. Did I see some 80s metal band, bigger band.
I saw ZZ Top.
Maybe that was a Def Leppard.
ZZ Top,
I think it was Def Leppard.
Because that's who's playing these a lot. Is Def Leppard, yeah.
I saw Jim Gaffigan with my kids, and then I saw Nate Bargatze and Leanne Morgan play together. Angela Johnson has done our county fair, Del Mar fair.
Yeah.
And then you played with John.
I played at the John, with the John. I also saw The Verve.
Oh, that's
The love of me. Yeah, goodness. I saw them in sort of a 99, something like that, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw The Verve at the State Fair. I've seen ZZ Top at the State Fair. We kind of hijacked, listened to Switchfoot at Del Mar.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see who would be coming through. Oh, I saw Gallagher years ago at the State Fair.
That's cool.
You know,
that's a perfect State Fair act.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So... Mm-hmm. So the biggest state fairs in, this is according to readers.com. Number one, this is not a surprise at all, is the State Fair of Texas, which has 2.5 million visitors. This is in 2022.
Wow.
We'll run an impressive 24-day span.
Where?
So this is,
just somewhere in Texas.
Held in Dallas at Fair Park.
Yeah.
Where is this? I don't know. Well, oh, Dallas. I just said it. Yeah.
Guessed it was Dallas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dallas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then number two, and I knew that Nate performed at it, and they posted about the Minnesota State Fair, which is 1.8 million visitors. This is all.
Wow.
It's probably, I don't know if it's gone up or down. So
Commonly
referred to as the Great Minnesota Get Together, the Minnesota State is the second largest fair in America.
Wow.
Number three is the Big E. So this is the most, so this is actually a multi-state state fair, the Big E's New England, as known as the Eastern States. The Big E includes all six New England states. So they all, so the Big E goes in on one.
Wow.
Connecticut, Maine, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire. And it's in Massachusetts. They host state days each year that allow each state to showcase their individual history and traditions.
Cool.
New England's really united up there. I like that. They went That's in on nice. A fair.
That's nice.
I mean, without that unity, would we even be here?
Yeah, truly. Yeah. That's the, they split the check. Hey, you want to all go in here?
Mm-hmm. This is a grad party with six families.
Yes. Number four is the Arizona State Fair, established in 1905 with the intent of gathering place for community, growing over to 1 million attendees.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like how old fairs are
again that, and so that yeah. same the Syracuse mm-hmm. one, there is some debate on who's the oldest one
yeah.
and mm-hmm. when they say state, this is essentially just when it got state licensed essentially yeah. because everyone's been gathering at these things forever.
They had to pay taxes
yeah. yeah. Number five is Tulsa, 1.2 million.
Oh man.
Number six is the Iowa State Fair, 1.1 million in 2020. Number seven is the Wisconsin State Fair. And number eight is Washington State Fair. Is number is Puyallup, as we know, mm-hmm. and then North Carolina, Oklahoma State. Those are your top 10. What I think is Jeez. Interesting about this is how spread out this was. Texas, Minnesota, New England, Arizona. We really covered all of the country, which I think mm-hmm. is interesting. Oh, and North Carolina is the South, which not surprisingly, the South, this one in the South, some of these run a little later in October, which okay. makes sense because mm-hmm. running it in June and July is a very Southern California privilege. You would not do this mm-hmm. in Alabama in July.
Well, also,
nobody's looking to be outside during that time.
In Washington, it's in September.
Yes. Because it's not going to rain.
Because it's not going to rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, for us, it was always an early fall thing.
Yes, very yeah, much so. You would go, up. You mm-hmm. would go, school would be in session when you would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of Oktoberfest type fairs like in Orange County, like multiple in different cities. Like that was like a really big like local carnival thing for
yeah I love it.
It's nice.
Okay,
it's
so nice. Our mm-hmm. fair, which is a county fair, the San Diego yeah. County Fair, which mm-hmm. I think we call Del Mar Fair, we just call it the fair. That's what's sure. beautiful about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody uses the name, you say the fair.
Yeah,
going to the fair, everybody mm-hmm. has their fair that they go to. Mm-hmm. So in 1880, a group of San Diegans organized an agriculture fair to bring county farmers to share ideas, to see who had the best citrus fruit, who baked the best pie, and who had the fastest horse.
Well, the thing with farmers is they're so spread out.
Yeah.
And they, it's nice.
Hey, what are you doing, huh? What are you doing up there?
Is your horse faster than mine?
Who's got the best lemons here? So it became a tradition, annual tradition, various counties. It bounced around. There was one, it was National City, Balboa for a little bit, and then it landed in Del Mar in 1936. It's been suspended for two occasions, World War II and COVID. Bummer. So it has agricultural roots, of course. Now, I think Melissa will like this. If you pull up that document, did you close it? If you, I can also just text.
Oh, I got it.
So scroll down to history. Hold on, of our fair. Go to that. So our fair, like a lot. Now scroll down. Has different themes each year. So this one was a pet theme. I couldn't wait to show Melissa mm-hmm. this. So there's the San Diego. This we were the summer pet-tacular. Let's go mm-hmm. retro. Mm-hmm. Get out there. So we have all the, this is obviously for the people who watch this.
Sure.
Took Heroes. 3 years off. Heroes yeah. was a classic. Mm-hmm. Heroes Reunite. That makes sense because it was closed for a while.
It was closed for 2 years.
So Albertsons has been a sponsor for a while, it seems like. Mad Hatter, classic.
Yep. Oh, there
it is. Remember.
2015.
It is funny because it's a fair. Yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. Well, and you know what's funny is we have really only done fair days twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I personally, when your kids are really little, I mean, you're going to lose your children.
Right,
And you can go during the day, which helps, but it's like very crowded. And if you have three little kids, you need multiple adults.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So, like I said, we've lived here like 14 years. We've been to 2 comedy shows and 2 like fair days.
Yeah.
Like, you got to plan this out. You're going to lose everyone if you're not. Like, yeah. We almost lost the 2 11-year-olds.
A couple times.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
well, as we've said about fairs, fairs are a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, you're going to be in a lot of lines and a lot of crowds, and you got to prepare for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we kind of had a perfect recipe, I suppose, in that our 2 daughters were in town. Our son was out of town. We let them each bring a friend, and we just kept track of the 11-year-olds.
Right.
And, like, paid for their stuff.
Fairs change.
The 15-year-olds were able to do
this. This is the first
thing.
Year we let them bring a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of facilitated. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't do any rides with them because they went with their friends. We just kind of waved at them and stood around.
I just let the sand slip through my fingers. Mel, you mentioned a perfect recipe. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk a little bit about fair food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think there's a couple two things here. One, there's some debate about where the corn dog originally started, but it definitely grew in popularity because of state fairs. Corn dogs, state fairs, a love affair.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They go together, which I think the
perfect
corn dog,
marriage.
I think the corn dog is the seminal, fair food. I really, I think the corn dog is the premier iconic fair food item. Because it matches a couple things. One, a meat you're not sure about.
Sure.
2,
deep fried. Yep.
3, on the go.
Portable.
There's no, who's got time for a table at the fair?
There's no tables.
Tables. Yeah. It was just like, I'm just on the go. I'll dip in mustard, an easy disregard, and I recognize it when I throw it up. Corn dogs, fair, they go together.
Yes.
Like, you got to have something you can stand in line with.
Yeah. And you can. You can order your next thing while eating your corn dog.
You can use the corn dog to order your next item.
I'll take this. it's perfect.
It's fair food.
Yeah.
I walk into a fair and I go, corn dog. Mm-hmm. Where do I? And I don't eat a corn dog any other day of the year.
No.
Mm-mm. They don't even really sound appetizing to me any other, but at the fair, it's a filet mignon.
Yeah. Now, we did have, Claire's friend did get a turkey leg.
That's new stuff. That's fad food to me.
Yeah.
That's like, what the damn, I'm going to do a turkey leg.
You know, like a deep fried Oreo or a,
To me,
but that's thanks to the corn dog.
That's what I'm saying. The corn dog is everything at the fair.
The purest corn dog form. Mm-hmm. The fair food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I want one. I don't want one right now. If I'm at the fair, I absolutely do want one.
In
though.
Seattle, they call them Crusty Pups, right?
Crusty Pups are a certain type of corn dog. They're just corn dogs, though.
Yeah.
So, but Fletcher's original claims to have invented
the corn dog
at the Texas State Fair. This is from their website. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is a lot of debate here. But they're saying the famous meal stick was invented and debuted at the 1942 State Fair of Texas. In 1938, Neil and Carl Fletcher were winding down their long-term careers in vaudeville.
Yes, they were.
Having spent several years performing at the State Fair of Texas at a show called The Drunkard.
Sure.
So they were performers.
Uh-huh.
And it was a local baker who served a dish of hot dogs baked in cornmeal in the shape of an ear corn. And while it tasted good, the process was time-consuming and complicated. So they tasted the recipe and realized that by frying it, not only did it cut the time in the cooking process, but now it is mobile food on a stick. And they started selling their corny dogs for 15 cents a piece at the State Fair of 1942.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't popular at first. The response was decidedly restrained. But they had to pitch it. Corny dogs are simple, but they ain't easy, was their phrase. Yeah. And the variety of dogs has expanded, the recipes changed and stuff. But these are Fletcher descendants.
Oh, man.
Who still work at Fletcher serving corny dogs at the State Fair of Texas. Look
That's
at this.
Fantastic.
I love this so much. God bless America, and God bless fairs, and God bless corn dogs.
And the Fletcher's family. Yep. That's amazing.
It brings me so much joy. This, oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
That's them. That's Neil and Bill. No, that can't be. Neil Jr. with Flint. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Wow.
What a legacy. What a legacy.
So they're performers and they got into food.
Yeah. Oh, there they are in the middle. That would be the two of them. That's, oh my gosh.
Skip Fletcher.
I don't need, move over Steve Jobs. Give me Neil and Carl Fletcher. More important than, okay, so I did one more deep dive. Because I don't know if every fair has this, but I don't think ours does here, but Puyallup Fair, people have moved there recently, would know it as the Washington State Fair, but it's always the Puyallup. They have a signature item, and that is the Fisher Scone, which is not expanded, by the way. It's kind of like early In-N-Out. It's kind of purist. It's just at the fairs up there. I don't think the Del Mar has like a signature item. It has the stuff that you have.
No.
Does OC have one signature item?
No, not that I can think of. Yeah, I wouldn't know what they originated with.
Right.
Seems like everyone else has got it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mel.
Now, you can get a Fisher Scone box to like a quick bread kind of, or you know,
from
like
the grocery stores.
You can, online. Yeah. Grocery stores up there.
Yeah, it tastes better at the fair.
It does.
In my experience, right. So they have the fair scone there. So Fisher Meals incorporated in 1910 and began operations in 1911 with the largest flour mill in the West. Okay, so Fisher Scones originated as a promotional tool for Seattle-based Fisher Flour Mills during the 1900s. So it was just meant a way to sell flour. Scones were given away.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Or sold for pennies at expositions to promote their flour. So they Fisher Scones debuted at the 1915 Puyallup Fair in the very same corner booth under the grandstand where they are still sold today, which is crazy.
Wow.
So they're like, hey, we got good flour, and the best display of it is this scone right here.
I think the most unique thing about the Fisher Scone is that they sell them by the dozen.
Right.
And so you can buy one, but you're like, I need 12.
Yeah.
Like donuts, I guess. But they're super hot, and then they have butter and like a boysenberry jam.
It's unbelievable.
In them. Every scone has butter and a boysenberry jam.
Yeah.
In like a little, you know, paper packet.
But it's funny that you say that
delicious.
About how many they sell because, what am I saying? The quantity.
Yeah.
They sell 1.5 million a year.
At the fair.
That's more than attendees. So
yeah,
they sell.
Everyone's getting 12 per
person. Exactly. Yeah.
I remember bringing them back to my dorm room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a product that's you sell more of that than the people attend at the fair? That's great. I mean, that's crazy.
Because a corn dog, you're getting maybe one.
Yeah.
But
and not every person who walks through gets a corn dog.
You always have room for a scone. I still...
If you're being healthy, you get a corn.
Yeah. Roasted corn.
I'll get a corn. No, dip it in butter. Dip it in butter. Can you deep fry it? Actually, while I can have some deep fried corn. It's no longer healthy, but...
I know. Now I want a Fisher scone.
I want it so bad.
Yeah.
Public Square has good scones, so we could get one downstairs. But
yeah.
I was thinking about, like, I was like, what would I compare the fair to? What is the fair as magical as? And I just don't think there is a comparison. I think the fair, you should compare things to the fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean.
There's no comparison.
Fair comparison.
There's no comparison. There's no fair comparison to the fair. I stumbled.
No, I think it comes back to that accessibility because it's not a Disney trip.
Yeah.
It's not like a theme park because it's just every year.
Yeah.
And maybe you make it, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
But like it's not far. I mean,
parking's
tough, but like, you know, like you don't have to spend all the money on the games and the ticket price is low.
Yeah.
And then you can choose how much you spend.
Well,
like you can go pet the animals and look at the
tablescapes. Yeah. Tablescapes.
You know, get out of there.
I do
fairly
think,
cheap.
If you,
if you want to win
a local government job, campaign on make the fare cheap again. Because it used to be like, hey, if you get in with...
Yeah, with like a bottle cap. I mean, if you buy your ticket at a grocery store or you get... We used to get free tickets at school. You get like one free ticket.
It would be... You could come in with, like, hey, man, I got 12 empty Mountain Dew cans. They'd be like, come on in.
$20.
And here's three ride passes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Box of cereal, cut out the little proof of purchase.
Yeah. What happened to the fare being cheap? Because I don't think it's as accessible anymore.
I think once you've gotten in, everything's pretty expensive.
I
guess what I was trying to say was, like, if you're saving for a trip to Disney,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, that's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fare is, you know, depending how you do it, a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so.
The fare, still cheaper than Disney.
Well, and then accommodations. You don't need to, you can sleep in your bed and go to the county fair for the most part. So the travel element is more affordable.
They should, I guess that's what you I should mean. Get some sleeping at the fair.
Fair needs tent camping.
There needs to be some more immersive experiences at the fair. Sleep in the hay.
Sleep in the stable. I don't know. I think everyone has probably been to a fair before. That's what I mean.
I think that I do think that fairs are one of the few things that do unite almost everybody. I mean, who doesn't love fairs?
I think the same kind of people that don't like a pool.
Yeah.
Like a what's it called? Like a city pool. You know, it's just like packed
risk.
Full.
Risk,
people who don't like risk.
Well,
crowds.
Yeah, fair and anxiety don't go hand in hand.
Hand washing.
Yeah, it is a bit dirty. You know what? I take it back. The fair's not for everybody.
It's not for everyone.
But the scones are.
You are taking a couple risks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I was thinking.
You are the fair. You are taking a couple risks.
I was thinking about the rides.
What are the risks at the fair, Melissa?
Getting sick.
Yeah.
Motion sick, foodborne illness, animal, you know.
The fair is great, but you are taking...
You're taking some risks.
Yeah.
You might lose the tablescape contest.
Now that I think about it, you're like, how do you not puke after going to the fair? Oh, we had a kid with us that did get sick.
Yeah.
It's more surprising when you don't get sick after the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You touched an animal.
A lot of surfaces. Yeah. Lot
no,
of...
Melissa.
It's a community competition to see how far you can go.
Yes.
It's a test of the American spirit.
What can your stomach handle?
Yeah. You ate fried food, you touched an animal, and then you spun around upside down for
and
5 minutes.
Every surface.
And touched every surface.
Yeah. As the same surfaces as thousands of other people on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fair is... Fair is best case scenario, only one of you gets sick, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 10 different modes of transportation.
Yeah.
Bus, shuttle, car, train. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should get your money back if you puke, though.
That'd be nice.
While you're there. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, want to give a special thanks to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thurk.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdon.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron. Perrin? Norman? Perrin? Perrin? I'm sorry, Norman, you're the best. You're my favorite one.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.